Rob and Nick.
How's everybody doing? Thank you for the response.
I was like, how are they doing? Are they able to respond?
I don't think they are.
No, they're not. Unless at home, they're like, I'm well. Thank you, Nick. That's my nerd voice.
Okay. I thought that was your nerd voice.
Oh, yeah. They're all my nerd voices.
Bump.
They're all my nerd voices.
Totally. I only got one voice.
Yeah. But anyway, so we are back here. Today, we're covering two episodes. We're going to cover Negus.
And Vortex.
Two episodes. And we'll get into those in a little bit.
Yep.
But first, we got to shoot the breeze.
Oh, yeah.
That's the important thing.
That is. It's what everybody who doesn't listen comes here for.
That's what they come here for.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah. What's life going on?
Oh, you know, just busy, busy, busy.
Yeah.
Nice escapism to do this.
It really is, actually.
Oh, it absolutely
is. It's a nice part of the week.
It sure is.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to close the garage door or this quote-unquote the studio door.
The studio. It's our studio is getting better. We're improving the week by week. Today, our setup only took us 10 minutes.
Which is by far the best time we've had.
It had been taking us hours.
Yeah.
And probably today, we've been keeping the soundboard here at the garage. I'm probably going to take it home today and play with it a little bit since I got some new cables. But
nice.
That way, we'll have a nice setup here soon. It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's fun.
You got a comfy setup. It's nice. Now we need some heat.
Oh, it's going.
It's about 34 degrees outside right now.
Is it that cold?
It's pretty cold.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty cold.
It didn't feel like that cold.
You know, a garage studio that's non-insulated is probably not.
It has insulation in it.
Oh, it does?
Yeah, on the wall. Just in the walls.
Oh, so then, well, that's the nice thing. So once the heat gets in here, it stays in here.
Yeah, except for up there.
Except for the whole, you know, roof part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not important.
Yeah.
Not important.
At some point, you'll listen to this and just go, and.
Yeah.
Cura.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep.
So anyways, we appreciate so far the response to the podcast. We've had some good turnout so far.
More than I thought there would be.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty impressive to me how many people have tuned in. So,
especially, you know, given it's friends probably, but refer us. If you're not a friend, that's awesome too. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I've been sharing around some of the, you know, I shared it on the Deep Space Nine fan board on Facebook.
And yep. I did that as well.
Yeah. So I shared it on there and I found out my neighbors like Star Trek. So I shared it with them, which is pretty cool.
Nice.
It's not every day you find a Star Trek person who's your neighbor.
And then we'll admit to it.
Who will admit to it?
Like we talked about last time, there's still a bit of a stigma on Trek.
Well, you know how it came up, actually. So he was just out getting his mail, and I was getting mine. And we were just talking. They have a newborn, so I was just talking about how the newborn was doing. And then I was telling him how when they get older, it's pretty cool because then they start getting interests. Like Eli now is getting in the Lord of the Rings.
Really?
Yeah. So we watched, about a year ago, we watched the unextended editions, right?
Okay.
The regular editions. And I just jokingly said that, hey, we should watch the extended editions. They're each 4 hours a piece. And he's like, oh, we could do that all in one day. And I thought he was joking. No, he was serious. So I had to go out and buy the extended editions. I couldn't find them anywhere, like digital copies online. So I had to buy a physical copy, which to me, I don't really do physical anymore.
See, I like the package media.
Yeah, it's just I have no room for it.
Quality is so much
better. Yeah. Well, that's true, too. There's no buffering and jaggedness. But anyways, so we watched Fellowship of the Ring the other day, the four-hour edition of it.
Good Lord.
And I was telling the neighbor about that, and that's when I discovered he is super into Lord of the Rings. So he just went off on a tangent for a while explaining all these things, which was fascinating. I didn't know all this stuff. So I'm like, oh, that's nice to know that you're kind of a fellow nerd. I said, but I go deeper. Like, I'm a Star Trek nerd, too. Like, and he goes, oh, we like Star Trek, and we like, you know, they're big sci-fi.
Is Lord of the Rings more acceptable than Trek? See, I view Lord of the Rings as, oh, those are the nerds. Within reason. I don't mean it like that. But
It's a term of affection for us, nerd.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a great question. Are Lord of the Rings fans more nerds than Star Trek?
Well, it's like you can.
Yes, I would say yes because the lore is Star Trek lore is pretty deep. Don't get me wrong, but like the Lord of the Rings, I mean, well, actually, okay. I was going to say, well, Lord of the Rings, they have their own language. Well, Klingon. Yeah.
And Klingon's been around forever.
Yeah. Yeah. This is all a really good question. Oh, my gosh. I don't know.
One episode should come up with a scale of nerdiness.
A scale of nerdiness, yeah.
Not saying that one end is better than the other.
Yeah.
But just saying.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
Like, who would be, like, the scale would have to be, like, people. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, the least nerdy would be Ryan Gosling. You're Ryan Gosling on the scale. Number one is your Leonard Nimoy or something like that. I don't know. I can't think of a good nerd.
Will Wheaton. Would probably be that on that scale.
Yeah, that's true. Will Wheaton is pretty much up there.
Yep.
That'd be interesting. That'd be an interesting thing to go through.
It'd be fun. Be goofy.
That would be fun. You know, what was I saying? I don't even know what I was saying anymore. Something about
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Anyways, it was pretty cool while watching it through. But it's interesting how certain, like, science, I guess that's not science fiction. That's fantasy.
Oh, that's definitely fantasy.
But in some sense, it's still on the nerdiness factor.
Taboo, so, if that's the right word.
But, like, it's weird to me when people like one but not the other, I guess. Like, how can you like Star Trek but not like Lord of the Rings?
Or how can you judge someone for liking Star Trek when you like Lord of the Rings? That's my thing. Like,
that's
Star Wars and Star Trek guys, or DC and Marvel. It's like, it's all something. Enjoy it.
Well, that actually is my big thing. I don't understand the people who fight between DC and Marvel. I like both of them.
Oh, me too. Absolutely.
I prefer DC.
Me too.
I definitely think Marvel has made way better movies, though.
Overall.
Yeah. Yeah, but...
I'll fight you on some, but overall, I agree.
Well, yeah, Wonder Woman is up there.
Aquaman is left on. I thought Shazam was awesome.
Shazam was awesome. Aquaman was really cheesy, but...
Oh, it's cheesy as hell.
Good cheesy.
Yeah, like, it was cheesy as hell.
It was meant to be cheesy,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I liked Aquaman. I liked that one a lot. Nicole Kidman was in it, right? Yeah.
I still liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, Nicole Kidman was in there. Yeah, it was an interesting movie. I liked it a lot. Willem Dafoe was in it.
Willem Dafoe, and he's always good as... making weird faces.
Weird faces. Weird yeah. characters. He's yeah. like the king of weird characters. He's
yeah,
made
he is.
He's made some odd movies over the years.
Yes, he has.
Holy crap.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. So anyways, yeah. So it's interesting the amount of people that I found out enjoy Star Trek and have tuned in. So I've shared it on Twitter as well. The Twitter.
I don't do the tweeting.
The tweeting?
Yeah, I don't do that.
I've shared it on the Twitter world. So... But yeah, so I mean, this podcast is specifically Star Trek. But we're gonna branch out
for now.
At some point,
we'll do a half episode with Tenet one of these days if we ever go see it.
Tenet, yeah, I know, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I so want to see that. I don't know. Like, let me ask you a question. When you go to the movies, do you like a crowded movie theater or an empty movie theater?
I honestly don't care. I have done both. I've been in the, because I used to work at, sorry for clearing my throat on mic. I used to work in a movie theater. So one of my favorite things to do at the end of the night when I was done working is start up a movie, sit in the auditorium by myself and watch the movie.
Okay. So you'd sit there the entire movie and watch it?
By myself.
Okay.
Be at 3 a.m, perfectly content.
Yeah.
But also you watch something, it's fun when you're watching a movie and people react that to things that they shouldn't or quote unquote shouldn't. Or it's, sometimes that's fun. Other yeah. times, people talking or have their phones on, you kind of want to murder them.
Right, right. Well, I know for me personally, like, nothing beats the experience of going to an opening night of a movie. Like, I remember seeing Spider-Man, the original Spider-Man with, you know, Sam Raimi Spider-Man. I remember seeing that the first night and people, like, clapping and cheering and
yeah.
doing and eyeing during the movie. The Dark Knight, first night. That was incredible. People dressed up and just the energy was incredible. I find that when you go to a movie, let's say 2 weeks after its release, you've lost the diehard people. You have the people who are kind of just like, I kind of want to see it. And those are the people who are playing with their phone.
Yeah.
So like I'm an opening night packed house guy or nothing. I don't,
really?
Yeah.
Whenever I get around to it.
Yeah.
I wish sometimes... I miss some things in theaters. I wish they were there longer like they were back in the day so I could actually seen it week 5.
Yeah, like a 6-month run.
Yeah, you know, just like, because sometimes time is escaping.
Yeah.
So
it's just that is a crazy thought too is how short the shelf life is to movies these days. And it makes you wonder something like Star Trek, right?
Right.
Who excels at a long shelf life, right? To become in the pop culture. If the way cinema works today, the way film works today, if that's to the detriment of something like Star Trek, which needs time to like marinate with the viewer and
right.
and
well,
build up a
if they had
following.
Like, you know how Tenet has been in theaters since they opened and in here in Detroit area, Michigan.
They just opened.
Recently opened.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think you got to give that thing a long shelf life in order to get to give it any chance
mm-hmm.
or anything that comes out right now in the theaters, which is probably isn't going to be much.
Right. I mean, most of the movies that are in the top 10 right now are re-releases of
yeah.
older movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And all the drive-ins that they have right now, which is great, by the way.
Which is absolutely great. I still haven't. I can't tell you the last time I've been to a drive-in.
Last year, I could tell you.
Yeah. We don't have any close to us.
You do. Well, not far, but that one over there in Northville off Beck Road.
Oh.
Isn't terribly far from you.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah. So anyways, I need to go to a drive-in movie.
And they had that one at the Imagine right at the 12 Oaks.
They did, but that would... So if I'm going to go to a drive-in, I want to see newer releases, I think.
Oh, they're only doing older ones?
Yeah, yeah. Well, because yeah. nothing's coming out. They've delayed everything,
I would
right?
kill to like, see Back to the Future in the theater. I'd
yeah.
go there in a heartbeat.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
That would be nice. But like...
Horror movies outside are fun.
Yeah.
That's the only time I really want to watch a horror movie is at a drive-in.
Yeah, that's a good point. I totally would go see... it's not necessarily a horror movie, but I'd go see Beetlejuice at a drive-in.
Oh, yeah.
That's a
oh,
classic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see that again.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. I can't... Yeah. My brain is not functioning today.
No, it's early.
It's really early.
It's early.
I didn't sleep last night.
No?
Mm-mm. Went to bed at like 4 o'clock.
The wife didn't sing you songs that help you go to sleep?
Mm, she was out
yeah,
before
yeah.
me. Yeah. We That's had a late night. What can you do?
What can you do?
Anyways, brain's fried.
Yep.
So, yeah, should we get into some Star Trek?
Let's do the negus.
Let's do negus. Should we sum it up first? I think one of the problems, I think we're not summing them up well enough. It's requiring the viewers to go back and rewatch the
viewer.
Episodes.
Singular.
The viewer or listener.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't do that. We should sum up the episodes better.
All right.
So, Negus, do you want to sum it up or do you want me to?
I'll give it a whirl.
Give it a whirl.
I didn't think about it at all, but I'll give it a whirl.
Do
so
it.
So, the Negus is like the key financial person in the Ferengi Empire. He comes to Deep Space Nine. He comes to Deep Space Nine to introduce... Gamma Quadrant business to the Ferengi. He get out there and start going out there. But then he fakes his, or he dies, allegedly. And he gives the Negus position to Quark. And comedy ensues.
Yeah.
And it's all about a journey to see if the Negus thinks his son is worthy of the Negus position. So he can retire to Ryza to get those lovely Ryzean women.
Ryzean
so he can
women.
Get a rise out of the Ryzean women.
The Ferengi are sex obsessed.
Yes, they are.
I just can't believe it. This show
Again,
in general is very big on sex.
Again, the Ferengi are the humans.
They really are.
Yep.
They really are. And it's kind of painful to see.
It's kind of painful to watch and go, yep, that's
yeah.
us.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
So production notes real quick.
Yeah.
Ira Burr, who ended up running the show,
yep.
was challenged or had to write this episode.
Yeah.
Originally didn't want to, but then he liked it, had it fun, and wrote Ferengi episodes for the rest of the series.
Did he?
Yep.
So he wasn't looking forward to this one. And Ira Burr took over showrunner the last three seasons?
No, the last since season three on.
Oh, season three on.
When they started, you know, Voyager. Everybody full focus went there. He was
They kind of all bailed on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I think Michael Piller got sick. He died of cancer eventually. I don't know what the time frame. But I think he was kind of the showrunner initially.
Uh-huh.
And then that's when Ira Burr took over.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yep.
All right. Ira Burr takes over. Okay, cool. So right away, you know, I could tell this episode was going to be more heavy on relationship building and kind of character building, right? Because it starts off right away with Sisko and Jake, right?
Which I love, by the way.
Yeah, Sisko and Jake. I do like their relationship a lot. It doesn't feel like it feels like a real take on what a relationship is between a father
and son. By far the
best
in Star Trek.
By far the best. In
Better
the
than Kirk and his kid.
Although
that does feel real, too.
Yeah, that does feel kind of
absentee father.
Absentee father. Yeah, exactly. That's a real thing. But, yeah, Jake growing up is the whole point of this episode, right? You know, like, you know, Jake.
And they don't make him a perfect Wesley.
Yeah. Well, you know, up until this point, he absolutely idolized his father. He wanted nothing to do but spend his time with his father. And here's his father saying, I booked this 3-day thing where we're going to go out and do all this fun stuff together. And he's like, nah,
yeah.
I'd rather hang around the docks.
It's great that you mentioned that early, because I kind of have a note about that. It's like, I can totally relate.
Yeah.
Because for 10, 11, 12 years, my daughter was a daddy's girl.
Yeah.
And now that she's 13, nearly 14,
yeah,
she doesn't talk to me.
Yeah.
And it breaks my heart.
Yeah.
It does break my heart, because I'm used to being able to, that she'd see me smile, run to me. And that's like, boomer.
Yeah. Okay, boomer. Go away.
And I know it's the age, but at the same point, I can relate to Cisco in that aspect where he's like, oh.
And it's hard not to take it personally and feel
absolutely.
Like it's something you've done wrong, even though you know it's nothing to do with that, and it's all the developmental cycle, but it's still...
But you still take it personally.
Yeah.
And you kind of you really got to catch yourself, and that's the hard part.
Yeah, exactly. Not snap and yell at them. Be
yeah.
Like, this is about me.
Yeah. I need you. You're the best.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah. So I totally dug that. You have, and here you have, you know, Cisco, who his whole life is dedicated to... you know, Starfleet, and he's just craving attention from his son, and he's
right.
not getting it, and he's unfulfilled for that.
Yep.
I kind of like that. And, you know, the story evolves throughout the episode with that, which was really nice. But I liked it. I liked the episode starting off there. It was a nice start off.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Fascinating how the episode is also very much about the relationship between Quark and his brother, Rom.
And fascinating how they changed Rom from the beginning of the
yeah,
show. Because at the beginning, he was like, you will not go with that human woman. He came off as very much
yeah.
more intelligent.
Yeah, and then he dumbed
less
down.
Less goofy. And
yeah.
then they marveled him and made him goofy.
Yeah, they did. They did make him pretty goofy. But it was pretty funny. Like, one of the first thing that happens, you know, in that episode, a woman loses her money, and he finds it. And he returns it to her. And then Quark gets angry at her. Like, the first rule of acquisition is, you know, once you have the money, it's yours.
Yeah, I got to get all those rules of acquisition and start quoting them in everyday life just for fun.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that would be pretty fun.
That would be awesome.
It's just, it's very, you know, thinking of the Ferengi as the humans, it's very painful, actually, because you realize how accurate it kind of is, right?
Yeah.
Like, this idea, like, if you found $1,000 on the ground... and you return it, there's going to be a lot of people who are like, what are you doing?
You know, I've never really found anybody's money, except for back when I was a kid, and I returned it when I was a kid. But as an adult, you kind of go, what could I do with this money?
Yeah.
So, but I'd like to think I'd still return it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to think I would, but
yeah.
Who knows? Maybe.
If it was $1 million. Probably not.
Probably not. Well, and maybe you kind of like, and there's other ways you'd probably find ways to get around it. Like, for instance, I'm going to put up a sign in front of my house that says found money, come contact me if it's yours. But you make the sign very hard to recognize.
Yeah.
And then you convince yourself, all right, after 2 weeks, if no one's come.
Yeah. And I drive by and I'm like, oh, found money. That's me.
That's me. That's
yeah.
my money. Anyways. Yeah. So I thought that, you know, I like the Ferengi, how they're establishing the Ferengi, you know, they're deepening the understanding of them as a culture and a people.
More than anything it has in the past, that's for sure.
Right. It's especially important if no one had watched Next Generation.
Right.
To, I mean, they did the Ferengi a little bit in Next Generation. They tried to make them more menacing there.
Yeah. They're supposed to replace the Klingons.
They were supposed to, yeah, which is a terrible idea.
Terrible idea.
Terrible idea. But so they moved on from that real quickly, but Deep Space Nine's really doing a good job with the Ferengi.
You know, you mentioned that, and Grawl in this episode actually comes off as a little bit of an intimidating Ferengi, so I was kind of impressed by that.
Right, right. Yeah, he was really good. I was
like,
very impressed
even,
with it.
Even from the beginning where he was talking about the Negus and then he threatens Quark indirectly.
Yeah.
I go like, well, you come actually come off pretty intimidating.
He's pretty good. Pretty impressive,
nice
right?
Nice job, Ferengi.
Pretty impressive. Pretty impressive.
Yeah. How about Zach, man? Sexual prowess in the Holo Suite.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
And
yeah.
then laugh.
Oh,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Sean Wallace, that's who that is.
I wish I could
imitate. Or Wallace it. Sean, Wallace yeah. Sean.
I wish I could imitate. I can't do it.
Yeah, Wallace Shawn from Princess Bride. Inconceivable.
He was great in this episode.
He was really good.
Yeah.
I will say there was points where it was hard for me not to recognize him as Wallace Shawn because he's just got such a distinct voice.
Oh yeah,
and laugh.
Oh yeah, that laugh is fantastic. But, so that's his laugh.
Yeah,
that's his like his laugh.
Well, I mean, I've seen that laugh before. He's done that in other stuff he's done.
See, so. Unpopular thing right now.
Yeah,
I didn't like Princess Bride.
Oh, I didn't either.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, we're on the same page.
Because yeah, I watched it when I was younger, and I was like, nope.
Mm-mm. I watched it. I didn't watch it until I was like 4 years ago, actually.
Oh, so you're more a lot more recent than me.
Yeah, and I just, yeah, it wasn't for me. I'm sure as a younger person, if I watched it, I would have loved it, but maybe. I don't know.
As a younger person, I did not love it.
Yeah, maybe not. I don't know. I was always the person where someone would say, this is great, you have to watch it. I would either not watch it at all, completely ignore it because of that, or hate watch it. Even if maybe I could have liked it, I'm going to find a reason to hate it.
I can't say I'm like that. I try to go to recommendations open-minded.
Oh, I can't do that. I don't know why. That's why.
Well, you're watching Deep Space Nine right now.
I know. But it took me forever to watch Harry Potter for that reason. Everyone was raving about Harry Potter. And then I finally did. I read the books first, and I did love the books, and I watched the movies, and I loved the movies, but it took me a while to get there.
I don't know what my issue with Harry Potter was.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's because everybody was talking about it so much, and I kind of relate to that Star Wars story, which I won't rehash here.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe it was Little Kitty,
yeah,
which is okay. I mean, shoot, I love Little, like, there's some little kids movies I love.
Right.
So I'm like, no. And then the daughter got into it and watched it by proxy. I was like, these things are actually pretty darn good.
They are. Yeah. They're really solid.
Yeah, they really, really are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're up there for me.
Yeah.
There's some parts of Harry Potter that if, you know, like, they still hit me with all the feels. There's one, the one where Voldemort first comes back, and they're in the graveyard, and, you know, they're both squaring off, doing their magic, and then because of the way the wand works, you can see the last people that Voldemort had killed.
Oh.
And it was Cedric Diggory was one of them. The other two were Harry's parents. So they're all three of them are rooting Harry on and saying, you got this, Harry. And like, it was a very emotional part. It was a good scene. It was one of my favorite scenes of the whole series. So
I remember why I watched my first Harry Potter movie. I was trying to think. It was before my daughter did.
Yeah.
Gary Oldman. I found Gary Oldman was in one. I'm like, oh, I gotta watch
Commissioner
this.
Gordon.
Commissioner Gordon. I can't think of his name from The Professional.
Yeah.
And
Leon?
Yeah. No, he's not Leon.
Leon the Professional.
No. Gary Oldman's just so good. I was like, I must watch this movie now.
He's good in everything.
Yeah, he is.
He's good in everything.
He really is.
Yeah. He was great. Okay, anyways, back to it. So Wallace Shawn is Zek. You got Morn in the episode.
I love Morn sightings. I love Morn sightings. And he laughs.
And he stands longingly by the bar trying to get in.
Yeah. I love what they do with Morn, even though he does nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does nothing. Which, by the way, they have a Morn character in Discovery in the first episode
The Species?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. 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 He had an appearance, a Morn character. So
in the 31st century, they're still around.
They're still around. Yeah.
Did you watch the second episode?
I haven't watched it yet. I was going to watch it last night, and then I realized I hadn't watched Deep Space Nine.
Slacker.
So I had to catch up on my Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, after you watch the second episode of that, I'll see if you could talk me into the first episode.
Yeah, because I will say the first episode didn't have any of the ship itself in there.
I'm okay with that.
It was just, Burnham, though. Burnham and this other guy, which it was good. Like, again,
I liked the other guy because he was in a short trek, and I liked him in that short trek.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was where he was stranded on I had totally forgotten about that.
Yeah, I liked him in that episode. That's why I was like, all right, Booker,
yeah.
Yeah, so I liked him in,
That was a real, I forgot about that connection.
Oh. Yep.
And anyways, so Morn is in here. We got Quark becoming the Grand Nagus.
Which is a lot of fun.
Some really good, interesting development on that front. I don't know. Quark is just, he is by far my favorite character so far.
I'm telling you, man, Quark is money.
I just love everything about him. He's supposed to be this person you love to hate kind of a thing. Maybe not even love to hate, but...
Slimy.
Yeah, he's a slimy guy that you just love. You can't help but love. A slimy guy with a heart.
Like, he's really well written.
Already. And it seems like he's already... You know how a lot of shows in that first season, they're trying to find their character. And maybe it'll evolve here, but I feel like he's already found...
Yeah, I think him and...
The
like,
essence of the character.
I think him this episode, by this episode, you know who Quark is.
He's locked in.
By the next episode, you pretty much know who Odo is.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. There's a lot of character-heavy episodes first season, which makes sense. They want to establish them. And so far we've had... Let's look back, actually, real quick. We have had the Cisco episode, which is essentially the pilot.
Right.
We've had...
an Odo episode, because he was murder.
We had an Odo episode.
Murder.
We've had Akira one. We've had a Jadzia one.
Had the O'Brien one.
We had O'Brien. Have we had any with the Doctor, Bashir?
Not
really.
Not really
not
focused.
Not with the character focus
of
him.
And then Dax had the episode named Dax.
Dax.
Which really would be great if they would name it Dax and not had it focus on Dax.
Really throw everyone off. Screw you, viewers. Take that. So anyway, Quark was fascinating. I love that. Can I say one thing that I was really happy about this episode?
No.
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to say it. Absolutely no Kira.
So you're still not a Kira liker at all?
Not a Kira liker.
I guess there was no Kira.
There, not once.
No.
And I was trying to remember in Star Trek series, has there ever been episodes where they just completely choose to not have the character at all? And
Jake's not in the show a lot. Either as
but
O'Brien.
But he's kind of secondary.
Yeah.
Right? And same with O'Brien.
O'Brien has acting gigs. I think he was filming Con Air at the time.
Oh, was he?
I don't know. I'm just...
So O'Brien, in some sense, he's a primary, but he's really secondary. And the only reason why he was primary was to bridge between Next Generation and Deep Space Nine, I think, to an extent. So, like, I don't view him as a primary. But it's weird to not have a primary in an episode, I think.
I'm sure there was times where they're like, hey, you have the week off. Enjoy it.
Yeah.
Or come in for this one day of filming where you could do the
one. Or maybe
she
was sick. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah.
But Jadzia makes a quick appearance in this episode. Yep. Bashir does too, right?
I believe so.
In the hospital?
Okay, because he examines
him. It's just always interesting to me when shows choose... And I actually think that's a good thing because that's the reality. Like, you're on a space station. Not everyone has to be involved in every single little thing.
Yep.
That's just not the way it works. It's like going back...
space station too.
It's like going back to that episode a couple ago where all of a sudden Sisko's the attorney.
Right.
And you're like... You can't actually get
there's not an
lawyers in
on,
space. Yeah, right.
Like, on the station or on Bajor.
Right.
Yeah.
Come on. So I appreciate that. It adds a sense of realism that not all the characters are in every single episode.
Yeah.
I like that. So, yeah. Also fascinating about this episode, Sisko, you know, you think of the Federation as accepting of all cultures and, you know, going out of their way to make things work. Sisko is actively rooting against the Ferengi, really.
It's because a Ferengi is a friend with his kid. That changes the game.
Right, but isn't that a subtle form of, like, that makes me think that, like, this is a social commentary, I think. You know, it's, I'm okay with these sort of people just as long as they're not in my life, right? It really is that way. I don't mind, you know, it's like those people who are like, I don't have a problem with black people. I just don't want a black person marrying my kid. Right? Like, it's still racism.
It definitely
so,
is.
Like, for Sisko, it's like, it's an interesting character dynamic. Like, oh, I don't trust
the Ferengi boy.
Because they're Ferengis and they're all jerks and we have nothing in common with them. And then here's Jake and Nog saying, you know, we used to have a lot to talk about until they said we didn't have anything to talk about.
Right. Which I thought was kind of, again, accurate of how kids are.
Mm-hmm.
The stupid little fights where you stop being friends for like 10 minutes because of a stupid little thing. Kids on Fortnite.
Yeah.
You shot me and ran away. Or, you know, back in my day, you like Star Wars, I like Star Trek. And you're like, And so their little spat about absolutely nothing is relatively accurate.
It's relatively accurate. It was a good, I like the relationship, particularly how, there's that one point where Nog wants him to lie for him. And Jake feels super uncomfortable about it because that's not who Jake's character is. He's an honorable guy. And he does it anyways, but he doesn't feel good about it. And then you're like, oh, no, Jake is becoming this terrible person now. And then you find out he's been teaching Nog to read all
along.
Which
is solid.
I really like that. That was a really cool
part.
And
then Sisko's reaction at the end doesn't tell him that he saw it. Just says, you're a good kid.
You're a good kid.
Go play with your friend.
Go play with your friend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're helping Norm, you know, make that dirty Ferengi not as dirty. Go play with them. Like, racism.
He said, go play with your friend. By that time, he was like, all right, I got a good kid.
He knows how to read. Good. Go play with him.
I know. Your son has got to have somebody that you're like, I don't really like him playing with that kid.
Yeah, there's this one kid. I'm not going to name his name. Starts with a G.
Oh, yeah, the kid's the worst.
He's
I hate
the
that kid.
Worst.
But we all.
Yeah, he does have friends where I'm like, why do you play with them? They're not very nice.
But our job is, we can say, you can't hang out with that kid.
Yeah.
Because.
Right.
But hopefully, in the long run, we've raised our children well enough where they're solid characters. We're like, no, I ain't going to do that.
Well, in that, I think to me, that's the ultimate character growth for Cisco in this episode, right? There comes a point where you have to let go and trust that your parenting has got you this far. And that's,
right.
to me, the end of the episode where he's like, go play with your friend. All right, I've done my work. Like, there does come an age, I think, where you have to trust, and your kid's going to sink or swim. Like, you can be there to offer them advice or whatever, but you can no longer hold their hand. They're going to have to figure it out on their own.
Right.
And that's, I think, where what Cisco is figuring out here, which is depressing, which you're kind of reaching that age now, too, with one of your children, right?
Right, yeah, daughter, yeah.
You've done your work. I mean, there's still work to be done, but you've laid the foundation.
Right.
Now it's time for them to
build a house.
Yeah, well, yeah, but they do most of the building now, right? Like, you've done the work, and you're just there to offer advice.
I'm putting the roof on.
And there you go. You're there to do the electrical or plumbing or whatever.
Yeah, I don't do plumbing.
Yeah,
electrical?
Yeah.
No plumbing for me.
Yeah, exactly. So I did like that character development. You know, here you have this commander of a space station who's all put together, but his relationship with the son he can't figure out. And
right.
It's realistic.
Yep, absolutely
is. So many people who have their careers put together but are not great parents, or great parents who have terrible careers. You know, sometimes you have both, sometimes you have none, actually. It kind of operates that way. So anyways, dug that. And what's interesting is, while this episode I feel like focused a lot on the Ferengi, I gravitated more towards that relationship.
Oh, me too. Although I had fun watching the Ferengi.
I had a blast with them.
I like that Rom, all he wanted was the damn bar.
That's all
just
he wanted.
Just give me the damn bar, man.
And he tries to kill his brother.
Yeah.
And Quark is happy about it.
He gets a promotion.
I didn't think you had it in you. Which is another way of saying, like, Ferengi kind of subvert your expectations, right? So I dug that, too.
Mad at you.
Yeah. It was pretty good.
I didn't think you had the lobes.
Yeah, I didn't think you had the lobes.
I thought that was pretty good. I think Rom tried to give him that last chance about the bar, and then he's like, yeah, you're dead.
Can we also talk about how Odo is a terrible security officer?
Better than Worf.
He witnesses an attempted murder.
Oh, yeah.
And he just lets them all go.
Well, let's play Benefit of the Doubt. Maybe it's Bajoran Law, something in there. Some kind of gray area of Bajoran Law.
It's just absolutely hilarious. It's like they were just about to flush Quark out of the airlock, and he's like, have a good day, everyone. Go do your...
Or maybe he's like, I don't blame you.
It's a pretty funny thing. Like,
I've wanted to flush my brother out of an airlock before, so... I mean...
But you'd probably get arrested for attempted murder.
I'm slick.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah. So anyways, all right, should we move on to the next episode? I don't even know where we're at in terms of time. We need to track these things. Oh, nice. Okay, we're doing good. Okay, so apparently Rob is tracking.
I started a little bit late, so we're a little bit longer than that. But
so episode 2, Vortex.
Vortex.
Another character-heavy episode.
Which is good, because I think it did a lot for Odo. I think we knew a lot about Odo, but it just kind of cemented that.
Yeah.
And kind of his desires to meet his people, and it even laid some of the groundwork. The guy, even some of the things he told Odo about the changelings, was actually accurate to come.
Yeah.
Yep.
So the gist of this episode is basically there's a guy comes on the station saying that he can. You know, I'm really bad at summing up episodes.
So
he comes to the station saying he knows where Odo's homeworld is.
Because he's from the Gamma Quadrant.
He's from the Gamma Quadrant. He knows. He has proof of it in the terms of his necklace.
Yeah, and the way it all comes up is because he's involved in a little...
Murder. A little bit of murder.
Yeah, so Odo arrests him, and he tries to appeal to Odo through Nick is saying right now.
Which turns out this guy is a big, fat liar all along.
Yep.
He doesn't actually know where Odo's homeworld is.
He's a liar.
He's heard stories of them. They thought they were all myths until he finally met one, and he's like, oh gosh, you are real. And he has some proof of it in the terms of the necklace, which is a decent or an ancestor.
Oh yeah,
of Odo.
A cousin is what they call
it. A cousin, yeah, a cousin of him. So that's a fascinating thing that happens in that episode. There's also the dynamic of that. I can't remember the alien character's name, but he was all along. He was just trying to get to his daughter.
Yeah, yeah, I can't remember his name either. But yeah, I mean, I'd lie, cheat, and steal to do that.
Yeah, it's another family. This show has been really good at exploring family dynamics and the lengths that we would go to care for those we
absolutely
love, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, this guy's lie, cheats, and steals. And Odo still has this sense of honor, right? Like, he's someone who's like, look, I don't care why you did what you did. You still need to answer for it. But then the episode ends with him saying, nah.
Nah, bro. See, so when I first watched this this time around, I was like, is that out of character? But then I get it. Mm-hmm. And then later it kind of says it's not out of character, too, the more you get into the series.
Mm-hmm.
He does something similar, I think, in the future.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't. He is circumstantial, and he's just like circumstance-based, and he's just like, all right, you can yeah, go ahead and take your daughter, and you're good. I don't think Odo initially was planning to do that.
Yeah.
But when the Vulcans came around, he's like,
this is too perfect.
I'm out.
Yeah. Well, and what's fascinating is I think this explores the greater dynamics of the series in some sense, this small decision, right? Because it's basically saying, look, all Star Trek series up to this point, there's been right and there's been wrong. There's no in between.
There's no gray area.
But this world isn't black and white. It is gray. And here's a Star Trek series that explores that gray.
Star Trek gray area.
Gray area. Gray matter.
Yep.
So I dug that. I like the exploration of Odo, how he came to be. So I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, this is the first Star Trek character up to this point who hasn't really understood how he comes to be.
Right. To my knowledge, I think you're 100% right. I think he's the only one, yeah.
That hasn't been fleshed out, right?
Right.
I mean, you have characters who are exploring their humanity in terms of, like, Spock explores his, Data explores his, like, trying to link to humanity.
Right.
But they know who they are.
They
know where they come from.
And all Odo really knows is a sense of honor and wanting to be secure.
So do we find more out about Odo's... I guess maybe I shouldn't... Well, yeah. Do we find more about where Odo... I know we find out where he comes from.
Right.
Do we find out how he ended up where he was?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it. Because that's... Like, the idea that you're this changeling, like, how did you learn to become a changeling? Like, how did you know you could do what you could do? Like, how were you stranded?
Yeah, you find out about that, and you find out why he ended up in the Alpha Quadrant.
Okay.
That gets found out. And I think, actually, you might find out some of that this season.
Okay. All right.
It's either this season or early next season.
Yeah. Yeah. But I really appreciate how this is about the exploration of Odo. I appreciate how all the other characters are known quantities. We know, even though we're getting to know them, we understand them already. We understand Kira. We understand she's had a life of oppression and just a life of fighting for her planet, and now they're free. We understand her. We understand Jadzia to an extent.
I say to an extent. I don't think we fully understand Jadzia yet.
We don't, but there's been... Yes and no. I think there is... When I think of a Jadzia, the fact... Here's what it is. She looks like a human, so we feel like we can relate to her.
Fair enough. As opposed to Quark with his lobes.
Right.
Odo with his face.
Whereas Odo looks different. He walks different. He talks different.
Right.
He's just different.
He's just different.
So he's harder to relate to. He's not a known quantity. I really like that. Also, very big episode where the alien keeps talking about the suspicious nature of Odo.
Right.
Like, constantly is talking about how he's always suspicious.
Which is, actually, you find out later in the series, is pretty much true of changelings.
Right. All changelings. Croden was the guy's name.
Croden. Yep, yep.
Croden. I have it written down. So, the suspicious behavior of Odo, which makes sense. You've had your whole life, you've had to be guarded from other people because you don't relate to them. They don't understand you.
Right.
So you got to keep a distance from them.
Well, right. And imagine being a security officer for the Cardassians. then the Bajor, then the Bajorans, and then now they got the Earthlings or the Federation around.
Yeah.
And she definitely on the outside looking in.
You just brought up a good point. There's something there. Because he was a security officer for the Cardassians. The Cardassians were very violent people. Odo's done some stuff, probably.
Yep. There's some future episodes dealing with some of his involvement in the Cardassian rule.
And how is he not viewed as a
collaborator? I think they talked about that in that Man Alone
did they?
Episode,
I don't
a little
remember
bit.
That.
But he was the only one that saved Bajoran's lives because of his strict rule of conduct. He's like Batman in that aspect. Batman has his rules and
follows them no matter what.
And I think they mentioned that in Odo's. That's the only way that they were able to feel comfortable with him is because he had his rules and he stuck to his rules.
So he was a known quantity.
Yeah.
I keep using known quantity this episode.
Shot game. So if Nick knows known quality, go for it.
Drink.
Another one.
Fake doctor's reference.
Yeah, I actually listened to one of those episodes yesterday. So
did you?
Yeah.
I'm behind.
Oh, I'm behind like hell, too.
Yeah. Nice callback to McCoy in this episode. I'm a security chief, not a combat pilot.
I love those. I love it when they drop those.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me smile.
That was a nice one.
DeForest Kelly, and even, what's the guy's name that played in the 2009 one? Oh,
Carl Urban.
Man, so good.
He was so good. He's so good in The Boys, too.
Yeah, I'm still a season
the
behind.
The Boys. He's good in Dredd.
Yeah, Judge you're right. Dredd. Are you old enough to remember the old G.I. Joe cartoon?
Yeah.
Okay, so you remember Tomax and Zaymot, the two twins?
Yeah.
Where, you know, you hurt one, you hurt the other type of thing. The Maradorns are kind of like that. You took one part of my soul.
Yeah.
So I thought that was like, oh, it's Tomax and Zaymot.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? That was my least interesting part of the episode.
Yeah, I wrote that down. There's a lot of good things about this episode. The villain isn't one of them.
Yeah, the villain isn't one of them. Sometimes you don't need a villain, though.
No, but it was necessary to move the story along.
It was.
Yep.
I liked how those aliens didn't want anything to do with the Alpha Quadrant. They're like, we don't care about you all.
Yeah, just give our guy back.
Here's the Federation who's like, we are so happy to meet you all.
And they're like, booger off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that accent was, by the way.
We are
so happy to meet you all.
That was your 90s? 90-year-old Nick version?
I guess so. I don't know. But good episode. Explores the idea of what home is, because it ends with, you know,
home.
Odo saying home.
Where are you?
Where is it? You know?
It's funny, because, you know, to think that he's been, you know, at the station and therefore and doesn't view it as home still.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you get it from the sense because for a while there it was under the Cardassians and now it's under the Federation. Right. So even your own home is just this place of chaos.
Right.
Like that's the thing about Deep Space Nine. It's kind of a place of chaos. Right.
Right.
Constantly new aliens coming in, new people. There's never a normal day. I mean, I guess that's a house, too. There's never a normal day at home, but...
Right. Like Worf is kind of similar because in The Next Generation the whole time, and even in Deep Space Nine a little bit, he was always wanting to be with the Klingons, even though he's always with the humans. He never felt at home until Deep Space Nine, he said. But so it's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting. But Worf had a human mother and father.
Yep, adoptive.
Adopted. They adopted him.
Ranchicos, or I think it was.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm a nerd.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. But, yeah, Worf. So, Worf. And now that I think about it, they tried to make Worf very similar to Spock in some sense.
In some respects. Maybe they took little pieces of Spock and... I mean, Data's obviously the Spock reference.
Data's the Spock reference. But this whole idea of I was raised by someone who wasn't my people.
Right. Right? Well, I mean, Spock was raised on Vulcan.
Yeah, that's true.
He just had
a human mother.
Human mother.
Yeah, human mother. He was a halfling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A muggle. There you go. I got your Harry Potter reference.
There's a Harry Potter reference. Anything else stand out to you on this episode?
No, I liked it. I liked that we got to know Odo. We got to establish more about Odo. I liked it quite a bit.
I do. So thinking back to our last couple episodes we've watched, it's interesting that the last two we watched were some of the lowest rated for
stinkers.
Me. The two before that were some of the higher rated. And I think we go back to, for me, these are higher rating episodes for me. I couldn't say. Negus, I feel like I could watch that one quite a few times over and over again.
Oh, sure.
I don't feel like this episode, Vortex, is one I would need to rewatch.
Okay. You like it just out of the blue?
I liked it out of the blue. There's certain things where you just like them, but you don't need to go back. Like, for instance, I was just talking with a friend last night about Schitt's Creek. Like, really funny comedy. Great comedy. One of the comedies I'd recommend to anyone.
See, my wife was watching the newest season, and I was downstairs, I think, actually watching something on my phone, football.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I laughed once.
So, okay. So that was a show where the first five episodes I watched, I'm like, I don't really know what I feel about this show. And then I got super invested because the characters feel very real.
Okay.
And you develop like this attachment to the characters in a way that I've never done on a comedy show. Right. Like, I love The Office. It's a show I'll rewatch over and over and over again.
Even with JD and Scrubs?
Yeah, well, I used to watch Scrubs over and over and over again.
I could attach to those characters.
But you know what? I don't have...
I'm not a doctor, but...
Yeah, you're a fake doctor.
Oh, a fake doctor, a real friend, though.
Yeah. So I think part of it is the ability to stream it over and over again. Like, back in the day, Scrubs, I just used to put in the box sets and watch them over and over again. But now it's like, I go to Netflix. Scrubs isn't on Netflix.
Do you still have the box sets for Scrubs?
I don't. I got rid of them.
Damn it.
I know. Ugh. Got rid of all of them. So a show being easy to rewatch, like pull up on Netflix, Office is that one for me. Parks and Rec was that for me. Schitt's Creek, one of my favorite comedies of all time. I don't need to rewatch it.
Fair enough.
Doesn't mean I don't love it. Doesn't mean I won't recommend it to everyone. Breaking Bad. I don't really need to rewatch it. I probably will, but I don't need to.
Are they bringing that back? Or is that...
No, they
make that up.
They already did one, the El Camino. They brought that back. They're bringing Dexter back.
Eh.
It was terrible at the end anyways. All right. Should we get the ratings?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it. That's my drum roll.
Can I just put a drum roll sound in?
I can, but I think my drum roll sound is more accurate.
Yeah.
Like it's like there was
a
drum.
Did you drop acid before you got here?
A little bit.
Okay, cool.
A little bit. All right. So. Episode, let's start with the...
Negus.
Negus. You want to go first this time?
I'm thinking.
You're
thinking. Stop pressuring me.
Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
All right, Negus.
See, it's not easy.
8.
All right.
I give Negus an 8.
I am going to go... 7. 0.5.
I feel like you're just saying that just to make me feel good.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
Darn it.
I'm validating 7. You.
All right, okay.
And your point goddamn fives.
Thank you. Thank you. I need that validation. I crave validation.
Are we allowed to swear? Did we just say that?
I
think I do. So
you do. I haven't, though.
I think you have.
No, I don't think
I'm kicking your knee.
I don't know.
My apologies.
This show has to be accessible to 7-year-olds.
Okay. Fair enough. Why 7-year-olds?
I don't know. I just made up that number.
Because that's...
I should have said an unrealistic number, like 3.
Yeah.
Like, toddlers need to know about Quark.
Because parents want their kids to cry?
Yeah.
By listening to this show? Make it stop. We can make it stop. Punish your kids by making them listen to this.
It's true.
About Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Deep Space Nine and others. All right. So you got... are you doing 7.5 or 7?
I'm doing 7.5, actually.
All right. 7.5. Okay. Yep. 8. Next episode, Vortex... What do you got?
6.
6?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 6, I think. That was my first
instinct. I think I'm in agreement. I think I'm a 6 as well. No 0.5s today for me.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to do better.
I was more cowardly than did my 0.5 today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very proud of myself because I think every single one so far I've had a 0.5 for one of the episodes. But not today. Not today. I'm rising above.
No, Babel and Captive Pursuit, we were lockstep pretty much 7 and 8.
Oh, were we?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm making up stuff about myself.
No, that's cool. Lie. That's cool. It's all right. Lie to our listener.
That's cool. Break the trust.
Yeah.
Ruin it for them. Okay, cool. Well, there we go. These are pretty good episodes, pretty solid. We're nearing the end of season 1.
I can't wait. I want to get to the end of season 1 so fast.
Everyone tells me that season 3 is where it really takes off.
Oh, absolutely. It does.
And I'm assuming that's because the Dominion War, not the Dominion War, but the Gem Hunter come in.
I think
the green come in.
I think you get a lot of the better writers, to be honest with you. I mean, these guys are, I mean, some of them are good, don't get me wrong, but you get the Robert Wolfs and you get Brandon Braga. Or no, yeah. Yeah, right?
Yeah. Braga's not a great
writer. Ronald D. Moore. I'm an idiot. Ronald D. Moore, you get those guys.
Of Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, Hans of Deep Space Nine fame.
Battlestar Galactica.
Hans Beimler, whatever his name is.
I thought you were talking about the guy from Die Hard, Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber's the man.
MacGruber.
You get a lot of those writers in there, and they probably operate better, and they get a better vision.
Yeah.
So season three's where it does kick off.
Okay. Well, so then you just got to keep listening to us, everyone, until we get to season three. You just got to hate listen to us.
Yes. Yes.
You should hate listen to us. Like, oh, I need to run today, but I need to be fired up and angry during this run. Oh, Nick's voice. That makes me so angry.
I know how they feel.
I'm going to run. I'm going to go on a run. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. So, all
right.
Yeah, that's it for our rewatch today, I think.
Yeah, let's call it a day.
All right. Cue dramatic exit music.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. Later, everyone.